Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. The Fruit Factory is a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I am his servant on this field, and I welcome you to today's broadcast. We are a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. When I say true Israel, I am talking about those who are still scattered around the four corners of the earth, and not those who call themselves Jews at this moment in time, as I speak on August 29th, 2024. I just have to put that disclaimer out there. If you'd like to know more about who true Israel is, I have talked about it in many previous introductions, and that is discussed in greater detail in the prophecy called It Is Time to Return to the Land of the Promise. So, in today's prophecy, we are going to talk about war. The Lord gave me this prophecy on August 14th, 2024, and it was whilst I was awake in prayer. And as I was praying, a rapid succession of pictures, videos, and sounds started flashing before me, and the Lord would interject here and there with specific statements. It is as if I was watching It wasn't a documentary, but I was just watching events, and the Lord was the narrator of all of these events. That is the best way that I can describe this. And this was around 3:30 a.m., and I was praying, as I said earlier, I was in prayer, and I just heard a sound. I heard a sound of a man speaking through a radio transmission, and this sound sounded like a 1950s radio broadcast. You remember how they sounded back in that day with the kind of sharp, peachy transmission, but it is as if the sound is being redacted. I don't know how to explain this. But if you know the 50s radio broadcast, then you know kind of the sound that I am talking about. And this man was announcing the war statistics and giving directives to the inhabitants of the land. And he was saying, yes, you have to go to this place, and this refuge is not operational. This other refuge is already full, and so forth. And the man was speaking. And as I heard this voice, I knew that, okay, we are about to go in. The Lord is about to lay something on me. And so I jumped up and went to look for something to write it all down. So the title of the prophecy is Deadlier Than World War I and World War II Combined. This is the title of this prophecy, and it is actually just an excerpt of a statement that the Lord made during the prophecy as he was showing me all of this. Before I go into the detail of the prophecy, I would like to invite you to subscribe to the Fruit Factory, or the Fruitful Report. Forgive me. The Fruitful Report is a newsletter. What is wrong with me today? I've been recording too much today. A weekly newsletter in which you will receive every Tuesday a recap of all of the prophecies that were published the week before on the blog. Because a lot of prophecies get published on the blog beforehand, and then I need to find the time to record them, not always in the best circumstances, because I am sure you have noticed that sometimes there is a lot of background noise, but I do not have a choice. The Lord is laying this prophecy on me at such a high, intense rate. I need to be pushing them out, and I cannot wait to be in complete silence to record these prophecies. So, you'll receive an email of all of the prophecies that were published the week before, and this will usually include prophecies that have not yet been published in this medium of audio. And the Lord made me create that resource because He desires for you to be up to date with everything that He is saying. And there is something that is quite different when you read the words of the Lord compared to when you listen to them. Reading makes you assimilate what is being said much quicker and at a much deeper level. Those of you who love to read will understand what I mean here. There is just an experience that surpasses the watching and the listening experience when you sit down and you read the words. And here we are talking about the words of God, of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, the Son, the living Son of God. This is what we are talking about here. So if you'd like to subscribe, please head over to thefruitfactory.co/report. thefruitfactory.co/report. And there is also something that does help push forward this message. It is if you rate the show, if you rate the podcast, you give it a good rating if you are so inclined to do so. If you have been enjoying and, you know, finding value in these things that the Lord are proclaiming, please do leave a rating so that the message can go further to more people. We all need to listen to this, especially when it comes to things that are life or death situations, like the prophecy I am about to talk about, and another prophecy that if you have not listened to it yet, you must listen to it. If you qualify as a true believer in Jesus Christ, you must listen or read the prophecy titled The 1984 Manhunt, because it talks about assassination of Christians and the persecution and martyrdom and so forth. And this is going to begin much earlier than when you think. They already have kill list of Christians. Please listen to that prophecy or go to the website thefruitfactory.co and type in 1984 and you will see that prophecy. I will add all of the resources in the description bar below. Now, let's go into the prophecy of the day titled Deadlier Than World War I and World War II Combined. This was given to me on August 14th, 2024. So I told you the voice that I heard, the voice of this man that was like that of a man speaking in the 50s on the radio broadcast, or something that would be similar to this sound, would be a man speaking through a talkie-walkie, or is it a walkie-talkie? You know these things in the military, the way that it sounds. This is how this sounded. And when I heard this man's voice, as soon as he finished giving the different statistics and the directives to the people who were listening, his voice was interrupted by a vision, a rapid succession of visions of bombs that were exploding in different areas full of civilians. Some people were running away whilst others were killed by the explosives. It was a very painful thing to watch. Imagine the worst war movie you have ever seen in your life. That is how it looked. And then I saw, and then it cut. You see, it was like a rapid succession of scenes, of things happening. So first of all, this man's voice, and then the bombs, people bombing civilians, bombing houses, bombing, you know, it was just terror, pure terror. And then that scene was cut off, cut off and a new scene appeared. And this was a group of soldiers at the front line on a battlefield. And these soldiers were shooting at the opposite camp, very much how we are seen or we have been shown in this World War II, World War, especially the ones, there have been a lot of films about World War II. These films, you know, and it was not even in color, it was in black and white. I'm telling you, it is as if the Lord was putting me there and I was next to one of these men and I could see and I could feel their fear and I could see, I could feel and sense the atmosphere. There was fear, there was death, there was terror in the air. So these soldiers were shooting at each other, shooting at the opposite camp, right? So there were two camps and they were shooting at each other. And this was the battlefield. And then it just cut off and I saw a black screen. And on this black screen, the word war, written in large, bold letters, was revealed. You know how the word is revealed, is first transparent, and then little by little it appears slowly. The word war appeared in that way. And then I heard the sound of people. So I was watching the word war. And then as I was watching it come to life on the screen, I started hearing sound. And I heard the sound of people screaming in agony. Men, women, children. There were just screams and screams and screams. And the vision started, a new vision started, of people running around trying to find refuge. Some were wounded, some were not wounded. There was a frenzy. The air was full of fear. People were panicking. There was despair. I saw men trying to protect their families, but the refuge shelters were full. So the refuge shelters were full. Men were with their women and children and trying to get seat places or whatever, and they were sent back. They were refused entry because there was no more space for them. There was no more space in the shelter. I saw hospitals, I saw malls, schools, you know, general public spaces, parks, and so forth, that were emptying themselves. People were deserting these places. They were running away because the bombs were being dropped at such places to kill as much people as possible. So they deserted the places and they were running around in a frenzy. When I tell you frenzy, it was bad. Some people were falling on the floor, getting trampled on as other people ran over them to run away. Everyone was just looking for safety. And the Lord did not show me in which country this was. And it is not really relevant in which country it is, because it is a world war. So it could be any country in the world, quite literally. And then I saw a family, right? I saw this family home, and there was a family who was trying to get out of there. I saw that the father was the first person that I saw. He had a big truck. You know, these, the trucks that have, that are like minivans. That's how his car was. So he had this big car and he was just throwing people out. Throwing things out of that car with so much force, and he did not care where it was falling down. He was screaming on top of his lungs, "Get in the car now! Everybody in the car now!" He was screaming on top of his lungs. He was flinging things out, trying to make some space. He did not care if it was being thrown on the street or if it was going to bother him even as he got out of the house. It was not relevant. He just was cleaning, make space. He was just thinking in his heart, "Let's make space in this car and get out of here." And in that same home, so it started, the vision started of this home, of this family, with the dad who was outside. The car was outside, parked in front of the home, and he was flinging these things out, trying to empty the car and screaming at the top of his lungs, "Get in the car now, everybody in the car now." And then it's as if it was a camera, right? So it stops at the father and then it moves into the house. And I see the mom. The mom is in the kitchen. The mom is in the kitchen trying to pack some food, trying to make sandwiches. When I say sandwich, it is like barely. She was just cutting up bread and putting things inside. Whatever she could put inside, she was throwing those things in that bread at the speed of light. The children, and then it's as if the camera moved from the mother who was in the kitchen up the staircases to the children. This was a nice family. Their house was nice. It looked good. And the children were running up and down the staircases, trying, where is my book? Where is my textbook? Where is my pen? Where is my backpack? You see that kind of stuff. Where are my socks? And the dad was outside saying, just get in the car. Just get in the car. But the children, well, children are going to be children, aren't they? Running up and down, trying to find books, textbooks, and socks, and shoes, and backpacks and whatnot. But then in the end, all of them, within a few minutes, had packed up, got in that car, and slammed the door shut and drove off, took off like a rocket. They left. And when they left, the vision stopped and everything just went dark once more. And then I hear the Lord say, the weapons. And I said, after he says the weapons, a few moments later, I see a nuclear bomb powering up, leaving the ground. I do not know which country was launching this bomb. I do not know who was behind it, where it was going. I just heard the Lord say, the weapons. And then I saw a nuclear bomb powering up. You see these videos of the nuclear launches. I'm sure you've seen it maybe once or maybe not. You can go and look it up. The way that it powers and you see the fire come from down, you know, powering, preparing, the bomb is preparing to take off. This is exactly how this looked. And then, so I saw that vision, very short vision, not so much dwelling on that. And it went away and a new vision came. So it was cut off, a new vision of a big scientific facility, like a research facility. And I saw thousands of tubes full of some poisonous chemical substance. They were green in color and they were packed together in the thousands and put into these large transport trucks. You know, the transport trucks that look like the ones in which money is transported, the ones that are highly, highly, highly guarded, highly preserved. And these trucks were carrying the poisonous chemical substances away. And so the Lord was showing here that the two kind of weapons, the deadliest, obviously it's war, so there are going to be guns and whatnot. But the Lord was showing the nuclear bomb and the chemical poisons to show that this will be a war that will include these kinds of damages. And when I saw the chemical substances being transported off, the vision stopped abruptly, just off. And then a board appeared in front of me. You know, the classroom boards, a black board with wooden frames, exactly like the boards that are in classrooms. And then I heard the Lord say to me, key players, the key players. And the Lord took a white chalk and began to write on this blackboard. And as he began to write, I realized that he's writing names of countries. So I rapidly I was reading. I could not write simultaneously as he was writing because I did not want to miss what he was writing. So I was just reading. And every new word that I would read, I would repeat it to myself so that I did not forget. So he wrote down Russia, USA, Israel, Palestine, Iran, Turkey, Iraq, and UAE, United Arab Emirates. And so I was reading it, so I would do Russia. Okay, Russia, 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 USA, Russia, USA, Russia, USA. And then he writes Israel. Okay, Russia, USA, Israel, Israel, USA, Russia. So I was repeating this to me, to myself, so that I would not forget. And then when he wrote the last name, UAE, the list stopped here and there was no further moment for a short time. And I took that time to kind of quickly write down what I had read. And then suddenly the chalk started moving again. But this time it was not writing a list, but he was writing things next to the country names. So next to Russia, the Lord wrote dash giant. So Russia, giant. And then and then Iran, he drew a line in front of Iran, a line that he connected. So an arrow in front of Iran. Iraq, he also drew the same arrow in front of Iraq and the same arrow in front of UAE. And then he groups them, he circles the three arrows together and wrote next to it the Islamic Coalition. The Islamic Coalition. Iran, Iraq, UAE, United Arab Emirates, where there is Dubai. And then as he circles it like that and wrote, so Russia, giant, and the three other countries, Iran, Iraq, UAE, the Islamic Coalition. And then the Lord said, whilst they are fighting their wars, I will be regathering true Israel. It is then that the exodus will begin. Please listen to the words of the Lord. When you see this war be blasted out in full effect, know that any moment from then, the regathering of true Israel will begin. But the war will be going on. Will it be at the beginning of the war, at the middle of the war, or at the end of the war? I do not know. Will the war be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years? I do not know. But the Lord is saying that the war is a bit of a trigger for the regathering of true Israel. The process, because it's going to be a long process. Don't think that you're just going to get in a plane and go get dropped off at the shores of Jerusalem, at the airport in Tel Aviv. No. And so, after the Lord said this, the list disappeared. You know, the blackboard and everything, this vision disappeared. And it cut directly to a scene of crazed civilians being bombed and running for their lives. And on top of this scene, it's almost as if that scene is playing and then there is a filter that is brought on top of the scene, superimposed on this scene. So I could watch what was happening at the background, but I could also see another layer of a vision superimposed on this scene. And this vision was a vision of me and a friend of mine with whom I pray sometimes. A vision of me and a friend in the room together on our knees praying. And then the Lord said, the USA will be crushed. She would have just gotten out of a civil war and will be greatly weakened by this. That is when she will enlist help from unusual places. And when he said unusual places, the scene that I was saying that I was seeing, right, the scene of the bombings and me praying with a friend, disappeared. And the unusual places gave room to a large map of Africa. I saw Africa and I was like, what is Africa doing here? Does Africa have a military, powerful military? And then I was watching the map and my head was going like, okay, which country in Africa has a powerful military? This is interesting. But Africa, really, Africa will be in this war? So I started, I don't know why I did that. Maybe because I grew up on the continent, I do not know. Anyways, the Lord said, unusual places. And then a large map of Africa appeared before me. And as I was trying to pinpoint which part of Africa could even give help to the US in terms of military. And then I remembered the Lord just said unusual places. So yes, it is quite unusual, isn't it? And then the map started being activated. It's as if the map was alive. And I saw humanoid soldiers walking out of different African countries all around the continent to go to war. They were with the USA. Humanoids, when I say humanoids, these are human beings, but they have robot replacements on certain body parts. There were some of them who had replaced their hands, their legs. Some of them had different eyes. They had robotic eyes. They had a metal forehead and skull. These were human beings that you would look at and say, okay, human beings, but not human beings at the same time. You see, cyborg in the DC comics, that kind of human cyborgs, basically. Coming out of different African countries, I cannot tell you with which specific country, but they were coming out of African countries. And the Lord said, as these people were walking out, they were walking out like soldiers, right? They were walking on straight lines, walking out of their countries, walking on the map. I'm telling you that the map came alive. They walked on the map, out of their countries, up north from the map. And I had knowledge in my spirit that, okay, these are the ones going to fight for the US. And then the Lord said, it is during this time that all the work you are doing right now will soar. People will flock to it in massive numbers. At this time, I would have already cleaned house in the current church. And it is then that my true remnant will be formed. War brings hopelessness and despair, and people tend to turn to God when they are hopeless and in despair. Listen to what the Lord is saying here. He's saying that in the heat of the Third World War, it is in that time that these things about who is true Israel, the regathering of Israel, it will pick up steam during that time. And he's saying that he would have purged, cleaned house in the church. He calls it, it's a term that he uses often when we talk, and he calls it the great purge of the church, whereby people, the false prophets, the false teachers, the ones who are selling your souls right now, if you're a Christian, if you allow yourself to be subject to these people's authority, you are under great, great, great trouble. You are in big trouble. So what he had called the Great Purge is clearing the false and demonic leadership, current leadership in the church, and began to refine his people, the body of Christ. Because remember, we have walked through the doors of the great tribulation. So things are just going to get worse and worse from here. And the Lord is saying that it is when that time comes, a lot of the people who call themselves leaders today in the church, who are false prophets, false preachers, false leaders, would have been cleared. Is it the war that will clear them? I do not know. Is it before the war that they will be cleared? I do not know. It could be both. Okay? Nothing excludes the other. The same way that I am 100% sure that there are other countries that will be involved in this war and that will have a big impact in it. But the Lord did not show it. The Lord shows his things progressively. You will get a piece here and then you'll be able to piece it up with something else and so forth, because the Lord is deep. He is God. He knows everything. He cannot do an information dump on you. You will never be able to take it. So he will bring you into the confidence of the things that he knows little by little. Bring you progressively so that you can absorb the information gradually and actually make use of it and not just get completely blown out by what you're listening to. And you need to be forging in yourself the capacity to absorb the truth of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is saying that this war will also be a trigger for what the Lord calls his true remnant. Those who will fall in hopelessness and despair, they will remember that there is a God. And he's saying that it is during such times that people usually are forced into a position where they can trust no one else but him. So this is when the remnant will be formed. Those who will put their hope in him whilst all of this happens. So this is exposing a lot of information. The Lord is giving a lot of information to his people through this prophecy, through these walls, these visions that he's made me, that he's making me share with you in this moment. You see that he talked about who will be involved. He said Russia. Russia will be a giant. But will Russia put... how will she be a giant? Will she be actually fighting actively? Possibly. But when you're a giant, usually you do not have that many... You do not have that many things that you lose, right? Because you are one of the dominating factors of the war. And so, what interest would Russia have with this? I don't know. I don't even follow politics that much, to be completely honest. I know the things that God tells me. I don't go out looking for information on the internet or in the news. I'm not someone who does that. Apart if he tells me, go and look this up, go and watch this, then I go and I do it. But out of my own doing, no, I am not fond of that. Because it actually pollutes your capacity to accept, believe, and absorb the things that God tells you. Because you're allowing external information to come and mingle with the truth. Which to me, I cannot afford to do that, because I am called to proclaim the things that God shows me, and there cannot be truth and lies inside of me. So I am very, very cautious about the things that I expose my eyes and my ears to. And so when he talked about his true remnant and he said, war brings hopelessness and despair, and people tend to turn to God when they are hopeless and in despair. After that, it was silence. There was no vision. There was no blackboard. And there was nothing. It was just me and the Lord standing there. And I was just waiting. But I knew that it was not finished. I knew it. So I was just waiting and I was thinking about everything the Lord had just shown me. And then he spoke again. And he said, These will be the last days of the free and undisturbed preaching of the gospel of my kingdom. After this, Christianity as you know it will cease to exist. Then will begin the persecution, the heightened persecution of my people. Then will begin the mass public executions. Then will begin a time of great, great tribulation on the earth. All those who do not truly love me will abandon me in masses. The beast will rise. Life will never be the same after that. No religions will be left. Other faiths, other religions, and their people too will choose death. Muslims will do this. They will consider it an honor. The death toll of the war will add to itself more deaths after the war is finished. There will be so much death. People will stop being scared or surprised or touched by the sight of dead bodies or blood. Death everywhere. And so, this is where the Lord's statement ended. Look, I'm reading this and I have chills. It is intense. And when the Lord says here that many will abandon him in masses, you know, it's been talked about by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 to 4. The great falling away is talked about there. He talks about, the Lord also says, the beast will rise. And the rise of the beast is discussed in Revelation 13. And Christian martyrdom of the end times is discussed in Revelation 6 and Matthew 24. And Christian martyrdom is also discussed in a prophecy titled The 1984 Manhunt. I've published it. I have pushed it out as broadcast and published it on the blog. You can just type in that title and you will find the prophecy for that. So the Lord is giving us a sequence of events. He says, then this, then that. Please take this into account. He does not say how long one thing will last so that the other thing begins, but we have a sequence. One could mean 5 years and the other 10. But you have a sequence of events. And as the Lord was saying this, I had chills in my body. And as I'm reading it to you now, I have chills right now. We are coming to a time when loss of life, of human life, will mean nothing. It will mean nothing. It will not be something surprising. It will not be something shocking. We are coming to a time when we will walk past a pile of dead bodies on the street and we'll sit down next to it to eat our burgers. The Lord's words were terrifying. That future to me, it may not be the case for you, okay? But for me, it is horrifying. And after he said this, I waited once more in silence. I was just digesting what he had just said, and I was writing it down as he was speaking. So I was reading through it once more and digesting. And then he returned with more to say, and he said the following. He said, the time of tribulation, the time of tribulation. The time of tribulation. This time will be very difficult and lethal for the church. Tell them that the preparation for that time is now. When that time comes, it will be too late. It will come with fire. If you are made of iron, you will stand, and everything else will burn. And this is where the visions for this prophecy ended. The Lord is saying here, time of tribulation. Clearly, if you thought that the end times were in 2,000 years, stop thinking that. Stop it. If you thought that the end times were for your great-great-grandchildren, please stop it. You will live through this. You, listening to this, unless you're maybe 60 years old, even then, there is a chance you will, there is a chance, big chance you would go through this. Unless you're 100 years old, that you could die tomorrow, you will live through the tribulation. You will live through these times. So the visions and all of that for this prophecy ended here, but the Lord came with more words, more to say to this. Afterwards, when I was getting ready to publish this, he gave me the banner scripture, Revelation 9, verse 4, which states, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. I will read it again. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And this is what the Lord said to this prophecy, to this scripture. He said, the only thing that can preserve you during the coming world war will be my seal on your forehead. If you are not sealed, then you will be killed. That rhymes, doesn't it? If you are not sealed, then you will be killed. Please forgive me. Let me continue. If you think you have seen death, you have seen nothing yet. The Third World War will have a greater death toll than the first and the second combined. And I, the Lord God, will not only allow it, but I have ordained it. Please listen to the words of the Lord. Listen to the words of the Lord. I will start again. The only thing that can preserve you during the coming world war will be my seal on your forehead. If you are not sealed, then you will be killed. If you think you have seen death, you have seen nothing yet. Oh, that rhymes too, doesn't it? If you're sealed, then you'll not be killed. If you think you have seen death, then you have seen nothing yet. The Lord is a poet, isn't he? When you read, even when you read the prophecies, like when you read prophecies in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, the ones that have really long, long, long pages of prophecies, right? He is a poet. He is a writer. The Lord is the greatest scribe of all time and the greatest storyteller of all time. I'm just pointing it out because I love my father, you know. Anyways, forgive me for the digression. I will return to the reading of the Lord's statement. So this is what he said. The only thing that can preserve you during the coming world war will be my seal on your forehead. If you are not sealed, then you will be killed. If you think you have seen death, you have seen nothing yet. The Third World War will have a greater death toll than the First and the Second combined. And I, the Lord God, will not only allow it, but have ordained it. Your only way out of this war alive will be to have faith in me. Do not be among those who will desert me in those days. Behold, my warriors and guardian angels have been made ready for the hour, and he who has chosen to take refuge in me will be protected. The angels will lift him up so that he may not dash his foot against a stone. 1,000 will fall on his right hand and 10,000 on his left, but it will not come near him, nor his household. Let he who has ears hear. I am telling you this now before it is on your earthly radar, that you may know that I am the Lord, and when I speak a word, I make sure that it comes to pass. Let he who has ears hear and take heed of my warning, for my wrath will be unleashed upon the earth and will ravage the one who has put his hope in his own mind and earthly possessions. But for he who has put his hope in me, the fruitful land of milk and honey awaits ahead. So this is where the Lord's words for this prophecy ended. And when the Lord said here, the fruitful land of milk and honey awaits ahead, you can read or listen to the prophecy titled Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey for more context about that. He has spoken prophecies about the regathering of Israel, and he will keep speaking about it in the coming years in this ministry. It is for this very purpose that this ministry exists, that I was chosen, set apart, prepared, and sent by Yah to be his messenger to you, true Israel and the church. Furthermore, there are a few important points that we must not overlook in this prophecy, and I will go through them one by one. Before I go into that, the Lord is saying here clearly that, and by the way, he directly quoted Psalm 91. But the Lord does this in his prophecies. He speaks his own words back to you quite often. If you have an eye for it, if you know your word, if you know your Bible, you'll be able to detect the different pieces of his written word that we know injected into these prophecies. The seal on the forehead have been spoken about in Revelation. It is talked about in Ezekiel. It is talked about in Jeremiah. It is talked about all over the place. So, if you do not make sure that you are sealed, my friend, you will be ravaged by what is coming. And as we go through the following points, I want you please to listen very carefully. And then you have the chance to return and re-listen to the narration, the different visions, and the statements that the Lord has spoken in this prophecy, so that you yourself can make up your mind and, you know, break the prophecy down and study what the Lord is revealing, so that you may be made, you may ready yourself and prepare yourself appropriately for the times ahead. The first thing that we must pay attention to in this prophecy is the fact that the Lord has given us a clear order in which certain events will happen in the future. It is possible that there will be other events in between them that he hasn't mentioned, because a lot will be happening in the end times. If you've read Revelation, the book of Revelation, if you've read Matthew 24, if you've read Daniel 12, then you know very well that there is a lot that will be happening. So, but these main events that he's talked about, we can already know which sequence they will have. So you will not be completely surprised when these things come at you. You must prepare yourself. Prepare yourselves to live according to Yah's prophetic clock and not according to what the fabricated news tell you. Because these news are fake. They are so fake. Go and listen to the prophecy titled The Great Deception Part 2. The Lord reveals in that prophecy how they manufacture the news with AI systems. Most of the news you watch are not shot on cameras with people in the studio and actual people looking at you, but they are created on a computer. Do not be shocked. Don't be. You've seen what AI can do with the little 1% that they have decided to put out. What we, the public, sees at AI right now, it is not even 1% of what AI can do. AI is foreign, evil, satanic technology that was created and is being sustained by the fallen angels, by the aliens who are not of this world and who are abominations to God. AI is not some technological advancement that some, you know, founder of a startup in Silicon Valley created. That is all false. Do not believe in that. AI is a satanic system, and the system with which the beast will rule the world. They showed you the Matrix movie 24 years ago because they knew what they were bringing. That Matrix is the most potent thing that will be our reality in the future. Either you will live in the Matrix or you will live outside of it. And when you live outside of it, you will be enemy number one. You won't even live. You won't be able to live. They will discard you, get rid of you, and your family will never ever know what happened to you. Please, look, go and listen to the prophecy titled The Great Deception Part 2. The Great Deception Part 2, when one of the titles is Industrial Misinformation and Fake News. Go and listen to that. Please. So, the Lord has given us here a series of events. Your clock must be clocked with heaven, not with what is happening around you. If you live according to what the news are telling you, to what your favorite celebrity is talking about, or your political commentator, your interviewer, your podcaster, or whatever the case may be, you are going to be deceived. You're going to live in deception. You must connect yourselves to what God is saying. And you must be. The Lord gives us these things so that we can be decades ahead of things. He's preparing us as His people so that we will know and be ready. Because He will not stop the devastation of the earth simply because we are here. What He will do is that He will give us this insight He will give, so that the person who is wise, the person who actually is His sheep and hears His voice, will hear His voice here and start getting ready. So, the second thing that I want to highlight from this prophecy is the fact that The Lord has spoken about mass public executions. He said that there will be a heightened persecution. It means that persecution will begin before that, but it will not be in that way. That will be very obvious and very intense, the way that it will be after this war is over. And you can see, you can read, I spoke about it earlier. The 1984 Manhunt touches on this. Satan already has kill lists with your name on it. If you're a true Christian, your name is definitely on that list. Because they can tell. They can tell who is true Christian, who is false Christian. They can tell. They can see your light spiritually. Spiritually, Christians have a light. When we say that Jesus Christ has a kingdom of light, it is literally that in the spirit realm. Christians have a garment. We wear a garment of light. So when Satan looks at you, or someone who is a Satanist, who is a witch, a wizard, or whatever the case may be, you know, those people operate in the spiritual realm. Many of them can see spiritually without needing anything. They can look at you. You think they're looking at you, but they can see your star. They can see your destiny. They can see the true you, which is the you that is unseen, not the you that is flesh. The you, the spirit you, the soul you, your soul in the spirit realm, that is the true you. And they can see it. A warlock, a wizard, a Satanist, they can look at you and know that, okay, I am not to walk past her. I am not to try and do anything to this woman because there is a wall of fire around her. I cannot try it here. It will not work. They know this. They can see it. It is you who is ignorant. You live in sin and you think you're a Christian, but Satan knows that you are not a true Christian. He knows that he is the one who is ruling your life, not God. So, you better get ready. The third point that I want to discuss from this prophecy is the fact that the Lord talked about a civil war in the United States. And he said that the United States would have gone through a civil war before this Third World War, which is terrifying to think about if you are a US citizen, that you will have to go through a civil war and then you will have to go through a world war. So, if you're an immigrant living in the US, I'm telling you, there is something you should do, you can do, start seeing, start checking how you can go back home. Especially if you are of Judah in the US, it means that your home, if you're a Judah, an immigrant Judah, because there is Judah who is the United States citizen because of the history with the slavery, right? And then there are people of Judah who went to the United States from America, from Africa, from different African countries, West African countries, and so forth, to live there for better opportunity, better jobs, and so forth. If you are wise, my brother, if you are wise, my sister, you will start looking for ways to be going back home. Put it in prayer and ask the Lord. Ask him how you will go about this. Do not wait for the last minute when the civil war has started and all of the airports have been closed down and you are not allowed to go in and or out of the country to say that you will flee the United States. Do not be careless. Be like the prudent man that is talked about in the Proverbs. And if you're a US native, how you should have started fasting the minute you listened to that part of the prophecy. I keep saying fasting because fasting will bring you to a place where you will listen, you'll be able to hear the Lord quicker and clearer than if you just pray the way you normally pray. Inquire from God. Inquire from God. Maybe he has a place for you to go. Like that family who was packing. That family knew where they were going. They were prepared. It was just a matter of get in the car and let's go. He took off. That father, he knew where he was taking his family. This was someone who was prepared. And I believe that the Lord put that picture in there to show us what would be happening, why some people would be crying, running around, being bombed and so forth, going to shelters where there will be no more space, running away from malls and so forth. There will be a select few who would have known that this was coming. And they will just be packing up and going to the place of refuge, to their place of refuge. They were definitely not going into the town and going where the other people were getting bombed and killed. So there is 100% chance that the Lord has a solution for you if you will turn to him in humility, in prayer, seeking, supplication, fasting. So that he will tell you the escape route or the place of safety that he has for you. And if you do not have his seal, what can I say? What can I do for you if you do not have the Lord's seal on your forehead? If you are not set apart, what can you do? What will you do? Maybe for the civil war or the world war. You have no chance. I'm telling you. Then the next thing that I would like to discuss to make sure that we have integrated this is the part of Africa seeking help from unusual places. And how unusual is that America will stop treating Africa like a half human and will actually go and ask them for help? Wow. What a shock. I can already see how they will go about that. All of the false promises, empty promises that will come to Africans with. And the Africans, because they are so desperate, many of them, for a better life, for going to the West, you know, big name countries like America, big name countries. They will run and get and enroll themselves and transform themselves into these beasts to go and help the USA. I am sure the Lord actually told me exactly what they will tell the Africans. And that will be in another prophecy. So if you live on the African continent and you're listening to this, if you're not from the African continent, but you know people who are, please share this with them. Africans must begin to renew their minds. Renew your mind. Change. Start changing the way that you view the Western world. They are coming for you. They are coming to enroll you to their wars so that you can go and die for them. Protect yourselves. If you're listening to this and you are a young man, protect yourself. If you have young male children or nephews, or you know some who are from that continent, especially those who are under the age of 20, they will be the most prompt. Because it is that age. By this time, by the time this will happen, they will be fully grown, developed, virile men. Or do you say virile? You know what I mean. Speak to them. Speak to your male youth and children. They will be the fresh blood ready to be spilled by the US government's... I don't even know what... Look. You know, these prophecies, speaking them out, it really does do something. It is one thing to write them down and to receive them from the Lord. And it is another to sit here and have to get you to take these things seriously. Please take it seriously. This is not a joke. I could not have opened my own eyes to create such visions and fabricate these kinds of facts and stories. Even the greatest screenwriter of Hollywood cannot be pushing out these kinds of revelations, these kinds of prophecy, 2, 3, 4 a day. Please take this thing seriously. The African crowd, you must speak to your boys now. The Americans will use social media. They will use money. They will use the propaganda that they know to do so well. They have honed the skill of mass brainwash with propaganda. Please speak to your young men. Speak to your young children, your young boys, not to get embroiled in this madness. And now, I'll finish with the core parts of the prophecy itself. And now I am going to talk not as what the Lord said, okay? I need to make this disclaimer. This is me taking my initiative to speak to you as a sister in Christ. And the Lord has allowed me to share what I am about to share to you. I am about to rebuke you for your sheepish ways of following faulty, corrupt, false prophets and so-called experts. Faulty unspiritual advice. Sheepish way of just following anything that you listen to. Now, you can cut it off here if you don't want to hear it. The part of the prophecy is done. You heard what the Lord said. You can cut it off here, but I'm going to say this. If you are prudent and wise men and women, as the Bible asks us to be, you will begin to train yourself to survive on only what is necessary today. You will begin to strip down your lifestyle if you are wise. If you are wise, you do not need 500 different pairs of shoes. You do not need 4, 5 versions of that handbag. You do not need to wear Gucci and Balenciaga, which are satanic brands, by the way. You do not need to have 5 different kinds of milk in your fridge. You do not need to be eating 5 different kinds of meat a week. You do not need to have 4 different cars and to have a house in the suburbs, a big fat house with guards outside. You do not need that. Learn, starting today, please listen to me. Learn to survive on only what is necessary and start to strip down your lifestyle. When these things start happening. If you have not learned the art of surviving on little, you will be ravaged by the coming times. You do not need a house with 4 empty bedrooms. You do not need to have 50 different jeans. You do not need to have 4 different facial cleansers and 25 lipsticks. You don't need that. Learn to live on what you need and maybe a few extras here and there. But times are already hard enough. Don't you see it? That money is getting scarce. Life is getting expensive. And yet you're still there. You want to live. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Can't you see? Open your eyes and look around you. That the things that are being spoken of in Matthew 24, in Revelation, are happening in this day. Why have you not updated your life accordingly? What is stopping you from updating your database of information accordingly? When I hear so-called prophets advising the church, advising today's church, I have seen many of these videos. There will be hunger. There will be famine. You must stock up right now. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Yes, there will be hunger. Yes, there will be a famine. But you are not thinking spiritually. You are being carnal and you're being misled by people who are carnal and who do not listen to God. They do not hear from God. Because if they listened to Yahweh, to Jesus Christ, they would not be advising you to be storing things that would be, I don't know, 6 to 12 months worth of food, drinks, supplements, and whatnot. Who do they hear from? It is not Jesus Christ. We are approaching a time when you will not be able to take any of your 12-month-long supply of food and rice and beans anywhere. Your basement full of toilet paper will go nowhere. You are very likely to lose that home with all of its supplies in there. We are going into a time where you would be moving back with your parents, moving into your car, because there will be a drastic crash of finances in this world. Because the US dollar will crash. You could wake up tomorrow to the US dollar having crashed. When I say tomorrow, I mean it. It is imminent. This crash is imminent. So that house that you've been stocking, that garden you've been cultivating, thinking that this is what will sustain you, you will lose that house. And what are you going to do when you are homeless? Where are you going to carry your 4 bags of 40 kilos of spaghetti? We are moving into a time of war. Go and listen to the prophecy that is titled "The Breaking News of Iniquity." After that prophecy, there is a second part of it. The second part of that is the 1988 manhunt. In that prophecy, it is discussed that there will be an iniquity liquid that will be infused in the pipes, in people's pipes, in water. And people will begin to be mad.
they will lose their minds. People will trash your house. They will steal and rob you. All that thing, the things that you think, oh, I'm getting secured, I am securing for myself, all of this good food in my basement or in my storage box, or I don't know where else. You will not really be able to use that. The chance that you have to use that is maybe if you live somewhere in a village in Africa and you never really depended on money. You never depended on the West. Never, ever. You don't drink from general pipelines. You have your own well of water and such stuff. But if that is not your lifestyle, where are you going to take that food? The people who have lost their mind, especially if you're in America, I see that a lot of listeners are from America. Those people, your civil war, they will break into your houses to abuse you, to kill you, and to plunder you. You will not even have time to remain in that house to be able to eat all of that food that you're so looking forward to eat. When people start being hungry, you will be the number one target of that, of them, from them. Because they will be so hungry, they will come and kill you in your sleep so that they can divide the plunder. Please listen to me. There are so many different ways why you will be destroyed because of that thing that you think that you're saving up, storing up like the ant. It is not a bad thing to apply the Proverbs of God. But you need to be prepared. You need to be seeking the Lord's counsel. And there are other things that you could be storing up for yourself. Use that money that you're putting into food and put it into real tangible assets that are not things that will depreciate or will be useless over time. That cannot be eaten with your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Things that even if the markets crash, if it remains in your possession, sooner or later, it will thrive. Your investment will thrive. And this is not the markets buying stocks. The stocks will crash because the US dollar will crash. And these can be things like real estate. If you buy it outright, not as a loan, those loaned houses, when this crash happens, they will kick you out of your house. If you're still paying a loan on your house, start fasting for the Lord to give you a way out of that loan that you can pay it back completely and be the owner of your house. Then maybe you will have a chance to eat one of the packets of spaghetti. Look, your well-explained, well-laid-out private garden that can feed a village will be desecrated by war. What are you going to do? People will jump inside your yard to rip off your garden because they will be so hungry during the hunger crisis. There will be no civil things. You can be lucky if you stay alive, my friend. You will be too busy trying to find a good hiding place to be thinking about your food storage. These diviners that tell you that they are prophets, they are lying to you. This is worldly wisdom. It is not wisdom that is from God. And it is not wisdom that is for these times, for this season. And I invite you to read Micah 3 and Jeremiah 23 to remind yourselves of how much God hates false prophets and teachers. They are false. Many people would point to the fact that when there was a hunger, you know, what Joseph did in Egypt and so forth, and the vision that the Lord gave Joseph back in that day. But please, this is a generation of thousands upon thousands and thousands of years ago. Their prophetic clock is nothing like ours. You need to be able to live according to the times, according to what is happening right now. Is a famine coming? Yes. I can confirm that. The Lord told me about that in 2021 already. Is a drought coming? Yes, it is. It will actually first be a drought and then a famine. But you must understand, please understand this. The Josephs, they were not the end times generation. They were not the generation who will have to battle Nephilim giants or Nephilim humans that live among us as hybrids. And since you people cannot keep your mouth shut, you talk about your stuff everywhere, these Nephilims will know, because you could not keep your mouth shut. They will know that you have the food, and they will be the first to show up at your door to plunder you. Not because they actually want that food, but because they hate you. They hate humanity so much. If you just knew how much they hate us. You are this generation, the Joseph did not have the issues that we will be facing in this generation. The Josephs are not the ones who have to cohabitate with aliens. The aliens are here already. I've been saying this. The aliens, these creatures that they show you in movies and try to make you think that they are your friend, they are here already and they are not your friend. They feed on human flesh and they hate human beings. They are soulless and cruel beings. Like the Nephilim. This generation is nothing like the generation of Joseph, or like any other generation that had to go through a hunger or a drought in the past. None of them had to be living in the beast system of Revelation 13, yet we are going to do that. The beast will be the first to ask you to give him everything you've bought in your house. You don't do it, you die. Because he will be a dictatorship. The beast will very easily be able to ravage and take everything that you own without having to give you a reason why. There will be no private property of anything in the beast system. So these things you have stored up, the government will ravage, they will plunder you. At that time, the time of Joseph, Revelation and the Messiah were still thousands of years away. And Yah has a precise approach for each season and people. That is why I'm coming back to what I said earlier. You must live on God's prophetic clock. You cannot live on current trends, and you cannot just go into the Bible and take any advice that you see. There is a lot of sound wisdom from the Bible. The Bible is the truth itself. But the Bible also shows us that the Lord acts in different ways with his people depending on the times and what is at hand, on the threat that is ahead. What he does in one way, he doesn't do it the next. Jesus did not repeat a single miracle. And this was to tell us, depending on what is needed, I will provide you with the wisdom and with the resources that you need. So are you turning to God for counsel, or are you just copy-pasting what people or applying what you see people do on the internet. That is a very, very high lack of wisdom. Do not do that, please. Wisdom begins and ends with God. Don't just listen. You have access to the same God that I have access to. That is why in my audios, in my broadcast, you will hear me say many times, go and pray and fast about it. Because I know that the things that I'm saying are the truth. And when you go and you fast about it, God will reveal it to you. And then he will give you a solution. He will give you counsel so that you can get yourself out of the pit. And when this time comes, the hunger, the financial crash, the beast, and it is not far. It is not far. I'm telling you, for the crash, we could wake up to the US dollar having crashed tomorrow. And it will be very likely that you will be in the situation that family that the Lord showed us in this vision was packing less than what is necessary to flee to the mountains as quickly as possible. And I believe that it is precisely for that reason that the Lord showed that in the midst of all of this death, of these bombings and so forth, this is what the wise ones were doing. They were not in fear or frenzy, but they had been prepared in advance to where they were just like, get in the car and let's go. Why did that dad not even bother to take what was necessary for more than that trip? My guess is he knew that he was going to a place where they would have what they needed. They were prepared for this. It did not fall upon them. They left the house empty and flee. They deserted the common civilization. They deserted the city and they fled. And Matthew 24, verses 16 to 18 talks about this. It says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetops not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. The Lord is saying, just take off. And this is the advice that God was giving us in the midst of telling us about the end times. This is the timely advice that had been given according to the times, according to what he knew that we would have to go through. So the advice to take into account is not what happened 5,000 years before that, but what he is saying whilst he is telling you what will be happening in the end. You know you are in the end. You know this is happening. Why are you not taking the advice that he's giving to the people who will be going through it, who will actually be going through this? And those people are us, this generation. So, the best thing you can do right now is first stop the hoarding you've been doing. If that's you, stop it. And go and start. I'm going to say it again. Fast, pray. Ask the Lord for his instruction for these times and the coming times, and he will start showing you things. You will be shocked. The only person who can preserve you is the Lord. And he said it himself in this prophecy, that the only thing that will make you survive is my seal upon you. And for those who are sealed, I have already prepared my angels, my guards, to lift you up that you will not dash your foot against a stone. It is so important to be in direct relationship with you, with him. It is not your big basement full of food storage that can preserve you from the hunger that is coming. It is not. We need to go further than what religion, what we've been used to. You've heard this story so much in church, you think that this is what I should do now. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. What you should do is what is the right thing to do for the times and the season and what God gives you to do. And often what he will ask you to do will be aligned with scripture. I just read to you Matthew 24, when the Lord is saying, flee. And it is what he's shown us through that family who was packing and leaving everything behind. They fled. And just like he said, the dad was like, leave everything behind. Do not go and be looking for clothes. Just get in the car. Get in the car. Everyone get in the car. Whatever they left behind, they left behind. God can give you water out of a rock in the desert and make manna fall from heaven like he did for Israel for 40 years. Not once or twice. 40 years. He can make ravens bring you food in a crypt like he did for Elijah. He can get his angels to feed and minister to you in the wilderness like he did for our Lord Jesus Christ. Your protection and providence will be the great I Am, Yah, Yahweh, not your storage boxes and your gardens. And by the way, just for the record, you're more likely to survive if you have 5 cows, 3 chickens, and a free bag of seeds of fruit and vegetable produce, with maybe a well-digging machine set up in a small cabin lost somewhere in the mountains. You have a much, much, much higher chance of survival with that kind of plan, instead of you hoarding 7 to 15 months of food and drinks in your basement. You are more likely to survive if you have a caravan or a converted bus that you can live out of with your wife and 2 children, ready to take off for the hills at any given moment in time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? These are the kinds of solutions that are appropriate for these times that we are living in. That's what the Lord talks about in Matthew 24. If you're single, you must have some emergency backpack and emergency luggage ready. Look, if you're single or if you're married with no children, even if you have children, each of you should start packing an emergency backpack or an emergency little luggage that when it hits, you just take off, go in the closet, take out the emergency bag, throw it in the car, and drive off. The Lord said it here. Let him who is on the housetop not go down. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Some of you would actually be at work, and the Lord will tell you, do not go back home. Just take a bus, take a train, and go to this place on that mountain and hide there. These are the times. These are the times that we are living in. You're more likely to survive if you were wise enough to, instead of packing 60 kilograms of sugar and beans, you invested in a little cabin in the woods somewhere on the mountain or a hill. You will survive better that way. So what are you going to do if you have a dream one morning where the Lord is showing you exactly what you should do as soon as you wake up? Get ready, take the bus, then a train. You find a people who can transport you to a little village in the mountain by car, and you must leave before 5:30 a.m. and arrive before the car leaves at 10 a.m. What will you do with your 12-month supply of rice, water, canned goods, and supplements? That's right. Nothing. And what is worse is that it will perish or get bombed or get trashed by the Civil War soldiers or get trashed by the hybrids and the Nephilims and the aliens. And you would have wasted the resources that could have sustained you if you took that, maybe in money, maybe in, I don't know what we'll have as currency once the US dollar crashes. It could have done much better. You could have fasted and prayed, and the Lord would have added on the money you spend on that food and given you something, some escape route. He would have given you a truck, converted truck. You know, there are trucks like that, caravans, that are all set up for people to live in. Those same resources could have gone somewhere where it would have lasted longer or been more effective. It's time to wake up, my friend. It is time to arise, O sleeper. I am rebuking you. If that's you, I rebuke you. If you don't want to take heed of my rebuke, that's on you. I've done my work. I've done my job as a watchman. Whatever happens to you now, that will be on your own head. I have done my job. My job is to tell you what you do with the information is none of my business. I am storing up for myself the treasures in heaven because I do my part. And so, thank you for tuning in. And please, if you find value in what is being spoken about here, share it with people. Share it with your close ones. Share it with a friend. Because this affects us all. It is not only Israel. It is not only the church. Maybe some people will see this coming and say, you know what? I have a much higher chance of survival if I actually give my life to Christ today. And I'm telling you, that is the truth. So please do share it. And if you'd like to support the ministry with a gift, you're very welcome to do so. You are not obliged to do so out of your own free will. If you desire to do it, thank you for thinking about it, if that is what you are thinking about. And you can do so by going to thefruitfactory.co/giving. All the information is there, and I'll add a link in the description bar. And please, if you find value in what is being spoken about here, leaving a review for the podcast will greatly help in pushing it forward for more people to listen. I read that the reviews or the ratings do help with that. So please leave a review if you would be so inclined to. Thank you for tuning in. I am Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. I am the Lord's servant for this work, and we are a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. Thank you, and I'll speak to you in the next broadcast. Goodbye.